This is Andrew Womack, and on our programs this week, we are going to be playing some of the teaching that I did when I was in Heidelberg, South Africa. I was in a little tiny place that only had 7,000 people in the whole town, and there were 1,500 people that came to the meetings. We were under a big tent, and we had some great miracles happen too. And not only did miracles happen during the time that I was there, but we had a lot of people come and give testimony about how the teaching had set them free. We had one couple that has seen over 700 people healed since they got hold of this. They aren't pastors, they were just lay people in the church, but they started teaching on healing, have seen over 700 healed. We've had testimonies of a little baby being raised from the dead, heart attacks being healed, some great things. Maybe we'll even play some of those during these programs. But this is my teaching. It was taped in Heidelberg, South Africa during July of 2009. I believe it'll bless you, so listen and be blessed.
Grace is what God does for us. Through grace, He has paid for all of our sins. Even the unbelievers, even non-Christians have had their sins paid for. Jesus took their sins into His own body on the tree, and He died for the sins of the whole world. Not just the ones who were going to believe on Him, but even unbelievers have had their sins paid for. Hitler's sins were paid for. He didn't go to hell for killing 6 million Jews and starting a world war and all of the terrible things and the adultery and the ungodliness. That's not what sent him to hell. The only thing that sends people to hell is the sin of rejecting Jesus who paid for their sins. That's what the Bible says in John chapter 16, verse 9. Verse 8 says that when the Holy Spirit has come, He'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And then in verse 9 it says, here's the sin that He reproves of. And He will reprove of sin, the sin of not believing on Him. That's all that the Holy Spirit... It's not about you going out and lying or stealing or doing this. The problem is you don't believe on Jesus. That's the sin that the Holy Spirit convicts of. It's religion that's convicted you of all of these other things, not God. It's just all about what have you done with Jesus. And if you've made Jesus your Lord, your sins are forgiven. You obtained eternal redemption. He's already forgiven them. And once you accept Jesus, God is a spirit, and He looks at you in that born-again spirit, and even though you aren't doing what you should, God loves you and sees you pure and holy as Jesus is. And I know somebody's thinking, oh, you're just encouraging people to sin. No, there's a flip side to this coin, and I teach on that, that even though God sees you in the Spirit and you relate to God on the basis of who you are in the Spirit, people are going to treat you on how you act in your physical body. And if you take what I'm teaching and go out and are mean, and if you lie and steal thinking, oh man, this is good news because I'm forgiven, so I can go live in adultery, you're going to get AIDS, you're going to get sick. You're going to be shamed. You're going to be embarrassed. You're going to hurt your wife. You're going to hurt the person that you commit adultery with. And you're going to suffer. It's stupid to live in sin. But I'm saying God loves you, stupid, if you're born again. God is a spirit, but you're going to suffer if you go live in sin. You're going to suffer if you don't study the Word. You're going to suffer if you don't go to church. If you don't pay your tithes, you aren't going to see this law of sowing and reaping work, and you're going to be poor, and you're going to do without. And you need to still do what's right, but not in order to earn God's favor. God's favor is on you because you accepted Jesus. End of story. That's it. That's the only thing that you can do that pleases God. The rest of the things should be done so that you don't give Satan an inroad into your life. You reject him and don't yield to him. Romans 6:16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. If you go out and yield yourself to sin, you give Satan an inroad into your physical body and into your soulish, emotional realm, and he comes only to steal, kill, and to destroy. John chapter 10, verse 10. If you give Satan the opportunity, he'll eat your lunch and pop the bag. You don't want to let the devil have access to you. So as much as you can, live holy. But it is not your holiness that makes you accepted with God. God looks at you in the Spirit, and you were created holy through Jesus one time. And you obtain eternal redemption. Your spirit is sealed so that that sin didn't penetrate into your spirit. God's a Spirit. He's looking at you in the Spirit, and you're still perfect, even though your flesh isn't perfect. Even though you aren't talking right and thinking right and you don't do everything right, God sees you perfect. He loves you. He can't love you. You can't do anything to make Him love you more. You can't do anything to make Him love you less. That's good news. If you understood that, that would change your life. You would be so happy. You'd be so thrilled that, God, what a wonderful salvation, that it's not, the burden isn't on my shoulders of doing everything right. Thank you that Jesus took the responsibility of making me right in the sight of God. God's pleased with me because of what Jesus did for me, not what I do for Him. That's wonderful. You know what? I was wanting to go much further than this. Let me skip some verses. Let's go down to verse 14. He says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" This says you have to have your conscience, which is in your soul, purged from dead works. You know what dead works are? Being holy. Doing all of these things. It's dead works. It's not the action that's wrong. It's the attitude you do it in that makes it wrong. If you read the Bible so that God could be impressed with you, and now God's going to move because you've done it, that's a dead work. If you go to church so that God can keep record and give you a star and you're going to cash them in for an answered prayer, that's a dead work. If you fast and pray and do all of these things so that you can impress God, and God has got to answer your prayer because you are holy, that's a dead work. And you have to have your conscience cleansed from dead works. You have to get to where you don't base your relationship with God on yourself. And it says here that you might serve the living God. If you aren't truly in the Spirit, if you are still under the deception of thinking God loves you because you are lovely, then you are in dead works and you cannot serve the living God. Man, that is wonderful news. Some people think, you know, the only people that this really bothers is the religious people who are proud of their dead works. Those of you who think that, oh, I'm so holy, boy, God's got to move in my life. You'll take offense at this because I'm pulling away your righteousness and your bragging rights. But those of you who just feel like, man, I'm a mess, I need help, you'll like this. But religious people hate this because you're saying this. You mean all of my church attendance and all of the things I do don't give me any more pull with God than this drunk over here? Yep, that's what I'm saying. Now, your good works and the fact that you don't get drunk, and it'll keep Satan out of your life. You may not have the same problems. You may not have the same physical problems as a drunk. You may not have cirrhosis of the liver. You may not have some of the physical things. You'll have more money than a drunk. You won't offend as many people. You'll be in possession of your facilities, and you won't lose your temper or do things. And you'll be much better off just in the natural realm by not being a drunk. But did you know what? If the drunk was truly born again, God loves them just as much as He loves you, because in the Spirit you are both identical to Jesus. This is startling news, isn't it? Man, this is awesome. It's good news. In the 15th verse, it says, "And for this cause He," speaking of Jesus, "is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." Eternal inheritance. Verse 12 talks about eternal redemption, eternal forgiveness of sins. Verse 15 talks about eternal inheritance. Did you know that there's a large segment of the body of Christ that believe you get saved And if you were to die while you are, you know, right after you get born again, when you're holy and pure, you would go to heaven. But after you're a Christian, if you commit a sin, that sin separates you from God. And they've developed a term that they call backsliding. That's only used two or three times in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah, and it's talking about a cow. Backsliding. But we've developed a religious terminology where, oh, this person is backslidden. And what they mean by that is they've already been born again, but they sinned. And because they sinned, if you have an unconfessed sin in your life, if you were to die with that sin unconfessed, you would go to hell. Even though you might have been saved for 20 or 30 years. If you had a sin and it was unconfessed, sin can't go to heaven, so you would die and go to hell because you were backslidden. And the only way to get out of that is to be born again. And so the people who believe that, they're saved, lost, over and over and over, and every time they're up and down like a yo-yo, and it just depends on how holy they are living as to whether they're saved. And a lesser interpretation, it's the same belief, but it's just lesser consequences. Some people, like the Baptists that I came out of, you don't lose your salvation. Once you're saved, you're saved, but God won't answer your prayers. God won't fellowship with you. You can't have joy. You can't be anointed. You can't be used of God. God won't use a dirty vessel. That's a phrase that I've heard all of my life. I want you to know God hadn't got any other kind of vessel to use. We're just in varying stages of being dirty. And somebody here might take offense and say, not me, I'm a holy. Give me a break. You know, if I had time and if I could talk to you personally, I could prove you aren't holy.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the almost too good to be true news of the gospel. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 South Africa Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM238 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Today, I'd like to encourage you to become a partner with this ministry and help us spread this good news. You know, there are many of you who do partner with us, and I want to thank you. We now are reaching over 2 billion people, potential, around the world. And it's only our partners that have enabled us to do that. But there is so much more that we want to do. There's so many people that haven't yet heard this good news. If this has been a blessing to you, if you see the benefit of this and understand how this could help other people, then I ask you to become a part of the solution instead of a part of the problem. Help us financially on a monthly basis to be able to reach out. We have partnerships available, a lot of information. If you'll call, you can inquire about that and become a partner with us today.